Okay, so if you've ever streamed a song, maybe downloaded a track, or even just, watched a music video online, you've definitely interacted with this hidden piece of data. It's absolutely fundamental, really makes the whole thing work. We're talking about the International Standard Recording Code, the ISRC. Today we're doing a deep dive into this, well, this unsung hero of the music industry, that crucial digital fingerprint that basically tracks every single piece of audio out there. Think of this as your shortcut, not just to knowing what an ISRC is, but really understanding why it's so powerful.
That's absolutely right. And our mission here today for this deep dive is to really unpack the ISRC. What does it actually represent? Who really needs one? And how do we figure out what those seemingly mysterious 12 character actually mean? If you connect this to the bigger picture, understand the ISRC isn't just like technical jargon. It's about getting the core mechanism behind the entire digital music economy, from creation right through to getting paid.
Okay, so we know ISRCs are these vital digital fingerprints. That part's clear. But let's peel back the layers a bit. To really get this fascinating system, we need to start right at the beginning. What exactly is an ISRC code at its core?
Right. So essentially, ISRC stands for International Standard Recording Code. Simple enough, but it's the global identification system, specifically for sound recordings and also music video recordings. What's really crucial here is that each ISRC is unique and it's permanent, a permanent identifier for one single specific recording. Think of it like a recording's DNA. It's unique to that exact version. And it's absolutely paramount that only one ISRC is ever assigned to a recording, and it should never be reused for a different one. That permanence is really key.
So it's not just some random string of numbers then. It genuinely is the song's unique DNA that makes sense for like preventing mix-ups globally. And you mentioned it verifies associated recording information. What kind of data are we talking about? What's locked into this digital fingerprint?
Yeah, it verifies really crucial details. Things like the artist name, obviously, the track title, the album title it might belong to, the label name, and also the UPC, which, for anyone wondering, is basically the barcode, the universal product code you see on physical products or used for the overall album identification digitally, too. So the ISRC links the recording itself, that specific sound file, to all that vital metadata.
Okay, that makes sense for tracking royalties and stuff, but the practical question I think for a lot of people listening is probably, is this something I need to worry about? If I'm an independent artist, maybe a small label, who actually needs to get one of these codes?
Well, basically, if you put a piece of music into what we call the commerce stream, so that means anywhere people can buy it, stream it, or monetize it in some way, then yes, you absolutely must have an ISRC. Independent artists, record labels, music distributors, they all issue and assign ISRCs.
Right. So for each unique recording that gets released, like on CD or for download or streaming.
Right. Exactly. They assign an ISRC to each unique recording released through digital music stores or physically, too.
So if I record a song, whether it ends up on an album or maybe it's just a single or even just something I put on a streaming playlist, it needs an ISRC to be properly tracked and well paid for.
Precisely. That's the guideline. To give you a concrete example, like from the sources we looked at, say an artist is signed to a label, they record an album, maybe six tracks. The label would then assign six unique ISRCs, one for each of those tracks.
One per track. Okay.
And this is where that permanence thing we mentioned earlier becomes so critical. Once assigned, those six unique ISRCs will represent those specific recordings in perpetuity.
Forever.
Forever. Yeah. I mean, think about it. Trying to track billions of streams globally for millions upon millions of tracks without a permanent unique ID like the ISRC correctly assigning royalties, it would be, frankly, an impossible nightmare. Total chaos, prone to fraud. It's kind of the silent global ledger that keeps the whole digital music economy from just collapsing.
Forever is quite a commitment. It does raise an interesting point, though. What if, say, an artist remasters a song or they record a live version? Does that get a new ISRC or does the old one just stick?
Ah, that's a fantastic question. And it really highlights the specific nature of the ISRC. If a recording is changed significantly, like a remaster you mentioned, or maybe a new mix, a radio edit, or live performance, it's actually considered a new recording.
Oh, okay.
So it absolutely gets a new ISRC. The original ISRC always stays with the original recording. It preserves its unique identity forever.
That distinction is super important. Okay, so we know they're permanent, they're unique identifiers, but what do these 12 characters actually tell us? How do we, read this digital fingerprint if we see one?
Right. Well, they're always exactly 12 characters long, always. And they're broken down into a pretty logical structure. It's not just random. The first two letters, that's the country code, tells you where it was registered. And just a quick side note on that, it's kind of interesting. After December 6, 2010, any new registrants in the U.S. actually started using the country code QM. Before that, it was U.S.
QM, okay. Why QM? Any idea?
You know, I think they just ran out of copy. But QM is the standard now for new U.S. registrations.
Yeah.
Anyway, this layered structure, it isn't arbitrary. It lets you have unique IDs across countries and across the different people issuing them and across years. It makes it really robust for a global, constantly growing music catalog.
That makes sense. Built for scale. So what comes after the two-letter country code?
Okay, so the next three characters, these can be letters or numbers. So alphanumeric, that's the registrant code. It identifies the specific party who issued the ISRC.
So the label or the distributor.
Or the artists themselves, yeah, if they're self-releasing and registered to issue codes.
Got it.
Then following that, you get two numbers. These represent the last two digits of the reference year, the year the code was assigned to that recording.
Okay, so like 23 for 2023.
Exactly. And then finally, the last five digits. That's a unique number for that specific sound or video recording, but it's unique within the scope of that registrant and that reference year.
Let's use that example from our source again, just to make it really concrete. It helps see the breakdown. It was a recording of the song Forever by a U.S. group, the Porchlighters. And the ISRC was QM ABC 1800001.
Perfect example. Okay. So let's break that down. QM tells us it's registered in the United States post-2010. ABC, that's the unique code for the specific label or distributor who issued it. Could be Sony, could be an indie distributor, could be the artist's own company code. Then 18 tells us the reference year was 2018.
And the last five digits.
And 00001 is the unique ID number for that specific recording of Forever assigned by registrant ABC in 2018. If they released another track that year, it might be 00002 and so on. It's really quite elegant how much precise, trackable information is packed into just those 12 characters. It's like a tiny passport for every single song version.
Yeah, it really is. It's clearly, you know, a bit of a structured process to get an ISRC, understand the codes, manage it all. But the value it provides, especially now in this global digital world, it seems absolutely undeniable. Totally worth it.
So as we kind of wrap up this deep dive, it's genuinely eye-opening, isn't it, to realize how these, well, these seemingly small, almost hidden codes, these digital fingerprints, are so completely fundamental to how music exists, how it gets tracked, and how artists get compensated in the digital age. They really are the silent workhorses, the things that allow millions of artists to potentially get paid and, you know, for us listeners to find the exact version of the song we actually want to hear. It really makes you think, doesn't it? You know, in a world where creating and sharing music feels so easy, almost instantaneous sometimes, how does understanding these background systems, like the ISRC, how does that deepen your appreciation for the, well, the incredibly complex ecosystem that actually brings the music you love straight to you? It kind of encourages you, maybe, to think a bit more critically. Consider that whole intricate global journey a song takes, from an artist's studio right to your ears. All underpinned by systems designed to try and ensure some fairness and order in this massive creative world.
Absolutely. It definitely makes you wonder what other digital fingerprints are out there, you know? Quietly underpinning so much of our daily digital lives, making that seemingly effortless flow of information actually possible. Keep digging, keep exploring those details, and definitely stay curious.